CliffCentral.com.
You like that? I could be in that band, Trouble. You don't think I could do that for a living?
No.
You don't seem convinced. All right. So Flax says to me just now, "Oh, it's the anniversary of September the 11th." So I go, "But it's September the 9th." But you know why that happens, right? Because Americans put 9/11.
They put the month first, followed by the day.
Which is bizarre, but I mean, they're the only people who do that. It's like they're the only people who measure things in inches or in pounds. Nobody else does that anymore.
No one.
There's one other country, I think it's Taiwan. Everyone else uses kilograms, meters, you know, the metric system. Not America, no, imperial system. And then they also do their month first, which is so weird. Why would you put the month first? Right? What's that all about? Anyway. All right, so what do we need to know today? What's going on in the world? What's happening?
Well, I just went onto Twitter and I saw somebody who tweeted, "North Korea is trending again. What has Kim Jong-un done now?"
Oh, no.
And indeed, North Korea are trending on Twitter this morning. And that is because, Gareth, their latest nuclear test is being brought into question yet again.
Uh-oh.
They conducted a fifth nuclear test on Friday, potentially its most powerful yet. The seismic activity of this test registers with a magnitude of 5.3. I mean, that is akin to an earthquake somewhere in the world. That's how big this latest test is. It took place near Pungyeri, Kilju County.
Of course I know that place.
Yeah, you remember that one, hey?
Yeah.
It's I heard it's not a terrible holiday destination either. I mean, I know we're talking about North Korea here, but this area is pretty nice. Huh. And so South Korea, among other nations, are condemning this test, saying that it was a clear violation of the United Nations Security Council resolution. President of South Korea, Park Geun-hye, has called Kim Jong-un's regime fanatically reckless. He said the only thing that Kim Jong-un's regime can gain from the nuclear test is stronger sanctions from the international community and its isolation. Uh-oh. The blast had the explosive power of 10 kilotons. By comparison, the nuclear bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima was 15 kilotons. Just to give you an idea of how strong this latest test is.
Wow.
And so
that's some power that those North Koreans have. I thought that they were a bit of a joke. You know, every time they tried to fire a rocket, it would crash into the sea. And looks like they've got some serious stuff going on there.
They've definitely got some serious stuff. The Japanese prime minister has also climbed into, you know, onto the story. He has basically described the tests that North Korea have been conducting as absolutely unacceptable. People have a genuine concern with the number of tests that North Korea has been conducting this year. They're basically testing weapons, right?
You're telling me we should be concerned.
That makes everybody uncomfortable. So what has since happened is that the United States are expected to start sending what are called sniffer planes into the area. What they do
sniffer
is that these planes take air samples and see if it can be determined that a nuclear event has occurred. Japan have already sent 4 jets to test for radiation. Satellite images had shown new activity in this area in recent weeks. And the whole world is basically very nervous about Kim Jong-un conducting test after test after test after test.
That guy's not mentally stable. We should be very concerned about him. He is a big concern. Right, Ben?
Yeah, Gareth, he has been since birth.
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un.
His father was?
Kim Jong-il.
Il-sun.
And his grandfather was?
The great.
Sol Im-kun.
Yeah, pretty much.
The great leader.
You got it. All right, there we go. Thanks, Ben and Mubs. That's exactly right. Okay, everybody, let's go home. We know the names of the most important family in North Korea. Now we can go home.
Are North Korea the only country that are busy conducting these tests?
No. Are there any shitty country that are?
I mean, aren't Russia doing some things? Don't the US conduct tests of this nature every now and again?
Russia don't really. They don't do this much anymore.
Not anymore?
No.
And what about the United States?
They used to. I don't think they've done a test for a long time. it's considered not too good for the environment, if you know what I mean. And the US used to do most of their tests in Nevada. There's this stretch of desert where they're just these massive, massive craters. And they used to ignite these bombs underground. And they would do a couple of them on the surface as well. Russia did most of their tests in a place called Novaya Zemlya, which are, it's a string of islands almost on the Arctic Circle. No one goes there.
So my question is, when the US and Russia were conducting their tests, was there this much attention around the testing?
Yeah.
Were people just as nervous?
Oh, of course, because it was the height of the Cold War when they were doing it. And it could have broken out into open hostility. But you see, there wasn't as much information around in those days. Mm. So only if you lived in Nevada or in Novaya Zemlya would you know about these things. But they are still very much doing them. The problem with North Korea is you got a kid at the controls who's been spoiled his whole life long, and he has got no brains at all, and certainly no empathy for other human beings. How many of his family is he just dragged in front of a wall and blown away with like anti-aircraft weapons? He's a savage.
Several aunts and uncles.
Oh, he's an animal. Yes, Flex.
Do we in South Africa have anything nuclear or like badass?
What do you mean?
Like any big bombs, nuclear, like...
We used to have, I can't remember how many there were, but it was less than 20 and more than 5. We used to have fully capable launch nuclear weapons, and they were dismantled at the end of apartheid, and they were... there was waste that was sent to a place called Falputz.
Where's that?
In the Northern Cape. And if you go to Pelindaba, where the nuclear reactor is, you can see where they did a lot of the research. But most of these arms were actually built and manufactured in an installation called, it's up in Arms Corps. It's up in the mountains to the west of Pretoria. And there was a place there called Advena, A-D-V-E-N-A, where they used to make these gun-type nuclear missiles. Pretty interesting. We once had that capability. I am pretty thrilled that we don't have nuclear weapons in South Africa. If you ask me, I think that's a good thing. Right? Call me old fashioned.
Well, they'd probably be sold to North Korea by now.
Yeah, well, someone worse. I'm very glad that we don't have them because they just represent a danger to everyone. I don't think nuclear weapons are a good thing. Full stop. I totally understand why America and Russia had to posture against each other the whole time, show off about who was stronger, who had the most nuclear weapons. That was part of the Cold War, and it was good that it was cold. It didn't break out into a hot war. But let me tell you, it got close a couple of times. Cuban Missile Crisis, you don't need that. Imagine the whole world in nuclear war. No thank you. Radiation raining down.
It wouldn't be a very long war.
Oh, no. Be very few of us left at the end of it, trust me. All right, any other questions?
Has anyone ever fired a missile at us? Mm-mm. Like something hectic?
No. No, we're too far away and we don't really piss off enough people.
That's good to know.
We should be pleased about that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But this North Korea, this is a very big concern. See, the reason people are... Because I hear all these arguments like, oh, but it's not fair. How come America and Russia can have nuclear weapons and North Korea and Iran can't? Because North Korea is run by a lunatic who makes his decisions depending on which side of the bed he rolls out on. And he's been treated like a little prince since he was born. Dad was a lunatic. His grandfather was a lunatic. They're mad people. And the people in North Korea don't look very happy to me.
But did his grandfather and father, did they launch attacks on any nation while they were still alive?
They're too weak. They have the third biggest standing army in the world, but they're too weak because they're locked in. You got China to the north, and China kind of like Big Brother who make them behave. And they've got South Korea to the south, where they're mortal enemies. They're divided along the line. They're genetically the same people. But along that what is it, the 30-somethth parallel?
The 52nd?
I can't remember what parallel it is. But there's a no man's land between these two countries. It's weird. We're living in 2016, and this is a throwback to the 1960s, the Korean War. So yeah, the last war, the last open hostility was the Korean War between North and South Korea, which involved America and Russia and everybody else. It was a proxy war for the Cold War. Any other questions?
No.
Yeah, I thought we'd exhausted that one myself. I'm glad that you said no. All right, what else is going on?
Did any of you ever watch the movie Eat, Pray, Love?
No.
No, I'm a guy, so I wouldn't have.
I have no interest in such a movie.
Okay, so Eat, Pray, Love was based on a book that was written by author Elizabeth Gilbert. It was kind of a big deal when the movie came out, right? Her 2006 bestseller book described how she had embarked on this spiritual journey of self-discovery following a divorce.
Sounds
like a Julia Roberts movie.
It was a Julia Roberts movie. Yeah. And then she fell in love with a Brazilian-Indonesian person.
Oh, really?
And the book was then turned into a movie, and Julia Roberts was the star of that movie. So what has since happened is that this author, Elizabeth Gilbert, has now revealed that she has divorced her husband of 15 years. Oh. And she is now in love with her best friend. They're now in a lesbian relationship.
So she's a lesbian?
Yes, Gareth, because she's got sick and tired of the D, and she's discovering new things. She separated from Jose Nunes in July this year, citing personal reasons. And she has now disclosed that she's in a same-sex relationship with her best friend, Rhea Elias.
Nice.
Oh, yes.
Now? Is it going to be Eat, Pray, Minge?
It's like...
bestseller in about 6 months' time.
It's like the book is coming to life here for her.
Huh.
She took to her Facebook page earlier this week saying, "There is something I wish to tell you today.
Oh.
Something which I hope and trust you will receive with grace." She then goes into explanation about how her friend was diagnosed with pancreatic and liver cancer. And at the prospect of death, she says that the prospect of death has a way of clearing away everything that is not real, like her marriage to her husband. And she discovered in that moment that she was in love with her best friend, and now the two of them are together.
Yeah, that's nice.
That romantic.
That's very nice.
Yeah, I like that. You know, people fall in and out of love every day, and that's just the way it is.
How nice for her that she's found a lesbian relationship, huh?
Yeah.
Everybody, let's sing for them. Be happy.
Lesbian, lesbian, no man's land.
Everyone.
Lesbian, lesbian. Any woman can be a lesbian.
That's right.
Love hearing stories like that. It's like, you know, so life's never going to be this foregone conclusion, like, ugh, I'm old, I'm sad, I'm not going to become fat. I mean, she's now a lesbian.
Yeah.
New lease on life. Hell yes.
And just another reminder that not everything is forever sometimes.
Yeah. Right.
And that's okay.
Nothing is forever. And once you accept that nothing is forever, you can live happily with what you've got at that moment. So if you're in a relationship and it's great and you're loving it, awesome. You are the happiest right now that you'll ever be. Because you don't know whether that relationship will get better or worse. So just live in the moment. Don't be so attached to permanence. Don't you think?
Well, I think, you know, also not being attached to permanence can help with disappointments that are inevitable in life.
Right. Like when you get your results of your heart age later on, Mabs. When Mabella gets tested for her pulse, blood sugar levels.
I think my heart age has probably gone up to 40 this year.
Uh-oh. Where was it last time?
I can't remember.
Uh-huh. I'm sure we still got records of that. We'll have to pull out those records, Flax. You remember what it was?
No. I'm sure they might have them. Mine was like 1 year older. I'm sure mine's going to be like 10 years older this time.
Uh-oh, because you're fat.
That as well as the fact that I've been on holiday and sick for like the past month, so I haven't been to gym and stuff. Yeah.
All right, well, let's see.
There's a new product on the market to help women wake up like without an alarm, so that they wake up peaceful without an alarm, so that they wake up peaceful and joyous. It's called the Little Rooster Alarm.
Yeah.
It basically, it looks like a spade, and they put it in their pants. And it's got
a spade.
Yeah, like a spade. So on the actual spade bit, you set the alarm time on alarm time on there. And then this, that, I don't know what you would call it, the handle for the spade sits on the clitoris. So when the alarm goes off, it starts vibrating and you wake up with an orgasm instead of with a harsh alarm sound.
Alarm.
Alarm sound.
Why do you say alarm?
That's just something I say, alarm.
Alarm. That's the sound that you should wake up to in the morning, right? Is that the sound you need? Huh? I'll tell you what, that'll be a better way to wake up than the way my alarm goes off in the morning.
Yeah, oh. I now like hate that iPhone tone.
What have you got in there?
It gives me shivers.
Don't use the regular one. Change it to a song you like.
Or to something gentle, Flex.
I was going to use that harp, but then I was like, I'll never get out of bed.
Let me play you a couple of these. This is I've got a couple of options for my alarm, right? Let me find you one or two of these quickly while we're messing around with this. So this is what goes off for me at, 4:35 in the morning, all right? Why is this not working properly? Hang on, let me just plug this in. The aux doesn't work, right? Let me just try it on this one, hang on. But you get the basic idea. That.
Do you wake up to that?
That's what I wake up to. or if I'm, if that doesn't, I also wake up to this sometimes.
Throw them out on their ass. Just take them, just throw them out just like they did it. Just take them, just like you take a shovel, just shovel their ass right on outside.
Boom. You're not going to mess with that woman, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. If she comes on as your alarm, you're going to shut up and behave.
But don't you find if you got a song that if you hear that song any other time of the day, you go into this
panic. Yeah.
Like I had songs the other day, and then the song came on, and it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I got into a flat panic.
It was really scary. Absolutely right. And there's this one, which is pretty cool.
Highway.
Oh, yay.
You like that?
Yeah, I mean, if you can wake up laughing every morning, that'll put you in a good mood.
Or this is quite cool. This is nice to wake up to. I'll admit, that puts me in a good mood. You agree?
It's like a Friday alarm.
Yeah. This one's good. You like? What do you got there, Flex?
This sound, honestly, it sends like shivers down my spine. You're about to ruin everyone's day with this sound.
Go on, let's hear it. Is that your alarm?
That's not bad.
That's all right.
Yeah.
No, but you listen to that 365 days a year. The sound reminds you that you got to get out of bed.
Yeah, but there are worse ones. I mean,
I'd rather wake up with an orgasm.
Yeah. Imagine waking up to this. This is what a lot of people have to look forward to every morning when they wake up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nope.
Exactly. So don't give it. Don't worry too much. There's always a worse sound. There's always someone who's suffering more than you. Okay, we'll test our hearts in a moment or two. We both at this party, so come and show me. Touchcentral.fm is where you are at this morning. Cliffcentral.com. Good morning. How do you like them apples? It's Kiara, my ex-girlfriend, Mubs.
Sierra.
Whatever. That's probably why we broke up.
You couldn't even remember her name.
No. Touch Central, cliffcentral.com. Oh, let me quickly get Casper De Vries while we're talking about Cliff Central. You know, he's got a show on Cliff Central. He basically does the Casper radio show, and he sent me these clips of what he is going to be doing today. All right, here it is.
I'm back. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Genesis, the abominable snowman 9. Sorry, I got a cough attack. I'm still not quite 100%. And it looks like if I speak nonsense, I get a cough attack. Just saying, we're coming in today. We is not the royal we, it's the team. And we're going to have Tobi Cronier and the whole cast of My Fat Friend. It sounds like a kind of a show Gareth Cliff would like to see. My fat friend.
Yeah.
And
I don't have any fat friends.
We're also going to have new concert stories and all kinds of nonsense. This fucking lung is making noises inside my ribs. What is this?
So, Mubs, what you need to know is that if anybody were tested for their heart or lungs or anything else today, Casper would fail way worse than you.
Mm.
Totally.
Probably.
We were talking about relationships just a moment ago. How did it come up again? The permanence thing?
Yes, you were saying that you think it's weird that people seek permanence in their lives. And Ben said, well, Ben, what did you say? Why do we do that?
Well, humans just want security, ultimately.
Yeah.
I think that's the first and foremost reason. And this is why Gareth is the worst person to talk to about this, because he is an island.
Well, I don't know that I'm an island. I mean, I haven't ever been lonely, but I'm often alone. And I take, like last night, going home, I was doing some work. I watched a little bit of a series that I'm watching. I could get in. Sorry, there's a treat for a Friday.
Thank you.
I could get into bed. I could go to sleep. I could do what I wanted. And I like operating with all the agency available to me. You know, it means that, and I feel like my buddy's the same in a lot of ways. She and I both, we like to control our little universe. So we've got the things we do, the things we don't like to do. It's very difficult to get me out of the house now, especially on a Sunday. Weeknights are, I'm becoming more reclusive. So it's just a question of, like, some people have needs, and I'm not needy in terms of other human beings' company. Other people like, they're gregarious, they're fun, they want to be around other people. They like having action and activity around them. And I like that, but not all the time. Now, a lot of people like a relationship. A lot of people like a relationship to have permanence. And permanence is an illusion.
Happily ever after.
Yeah. The fact is, if you're happy with someone right now, then be happy with someone right now. Don't keep trying to push it to another level. Don't keep trying to make it last longer than it will. You don't know how long it's going to last. If it lasts for the rest of your life, bully for you. That's fantastic. If it doesn't, you haven't failed.
Oh, no, but you have.
Have you? Is that society?
Well, that's the thing is, for the most part, we've been conditioned into wanting a forever and a happily ever after because that's the norm.
Yeah, but guys, to that point, if you are the boss of someone and you're working in a company, are you going to say to them, you know what, I'm going to keep paying you in a brown envelope with some cash. This is, you're happy in this job, you're good at this job. Here's a wage, okay? And then they go, well, actually, I wouldn't mind committing to this because then I get a credit rating, that kind of stuff. So,
Ben, how dare you bring your negotiation onto the show?
Well, you got to be subtle. So how about you pay me a salary, rather? We sign a contract, look at a deal, so that I've got something to actually show for this and it might not end tomorrow. That's also the side argument.
Okay, so that's like I hate to say it, but it's a temporary permanence. You're signing a 12-month contract. So at least for these 12 months, I won't fire you. And at least for these 12 months, I will pay you.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. Or it's like, you know what? You're very valuable to me, so I'm going to reward that with the fact that I have faith in you. That's the other side of it.
You see, Ben makes a good point. It's about feeling valued as well.
Yeah.
People want to feel valued in...
So, exactly. As much as I like a brown envelope with a few notes in it, ruffled up, I wouldn't mind something more to show commitment that you see value.
Okay. I got a clip that I want you to hear about this. Bill Clinton spoke at the Democratic National Convention about meeting his wife, Hillary, who's running for president. Bill and Hillary have had their ups and downs in their wedding, their marriage. For all these years, wedding is a long time ago. But listen to how he talks about her, and you tell me if you think this is the right way for him to campaign for his wife at the DNC.
She walked the whole length of the library, came up to me and said, look, if you're going to keep staring at me, and now I'm staring back, we at least ought to know each other's name. I'm Hillary Rodham. Who are you? I married my best friend. I was still in awe after more than 4 years of being around her at how smart and strong and loving and caring she was.
And then I started banging interns.
should he really have spoken about this at all? I mean, there's an example. These two, it's
he
mutually
sounds so old.
Yeah, these two are mutually beneficial to each other. They've both helped each other in their political careers. But in all honesty, should Bill be bringing that up? Doesn't that just remind people of how messed up their relationship really is?
Yep.
She's my best friend, but I like to put cigars in interns.
Yeah, but I don't.
That doesn't affect our marriage at all. Look how happy we are. We produced just one child. It was all Hillary could stomach. She didn't want to have more than one child with me. She wanted out of there as soon as possible. But then we started running into politics.
I think it's actually hypocritical of us to be judgmental of Bill and Hillary's relationship. We need to stop being precious about it, because the fact of the matter is infidelity is common in most relationships.
Okay, so in other words, right, so stop living in an ivory tower.
Yeah.
Everybody, this happens in most relationships. People got to get over it.
It happens in the majority of relationships.
All right.
So Bill and Hillary are no different to most of us, actually.
She's my best friend. poor Hillary. I love the way that there are men and women who blame her. They hate Hillary because Bill cheated. Have you heard these people?
Why?
I don't know. They're still going on about it. They're like, well, Hillary couldn't even keep her man. How's she going to run the country?
Oh,
you know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes,
like,
yes, of
Hillary
course.
Wasn't putting out enough, and that was the reason Bill cheated. Come on. Give the guy some responsibility for what happened. All right, here's something fun, because I'm just worried we're getting a bit heavy. But, you know, there are a lot of people in relationships right now thinking about these things,
mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't ignore them. Here is a news clip that I think you'll like. The woman, instead of saying teens are having a lot of luck, she says, fuck. Take a listen to this. This is good fun.
More teens are having luck, finding summer jobs.
You want to hear it again? Isn't that great?
What a summer job that is.
Yeah, isn't that great?
More teens are having luck, finding summer jobs.
She goes all red. It's very embarrassing.
Oh,
great clip. All right. What are you showing my buddy there, Ben?
What's the big day today, Gareth?
What's today?
Well, Henry Van Bredaar goes back to court.
Oh, does he?
Or he'll appear in court.
Today?
Yeah.
If that was the axe murdering, supposedly.
So he faces three counts of murder, one of attempted murder, and one of obstructing the course of justice. Like, where do you start? Because I think that last one was pretty much the big one there.
Yeah.
Well, I think obviously murder is huge.
Listen,
but I mean, he was obstructing a lot.
Murder, they should say murdering with an axe. That's a different kind of murder.
It is.
Yeah.
It's the worst kind of murder.
A heavy medieval weapon. That's what that is. It's not like he pulled out the gun and just quietly, as quietly as the gun's able to be, dispatched his family.
So, we can get back to that on Monday and see where she went down today. So if you're in the area,
maybe go and give him some moral support.
Western Cape High Court, that's where it's kicking off today.
All right. MS says, actually, Gareth, you do have a fat friend with regard to what Casper was saying. Your stomach. Thanks. Yeah, that's true. I was moaning about that last week, or Monday when I got back from the weekend. Ashley says, I've just gone through a divorce after 8 years of marriage.
It
definitely feels like a failure.
You see, it's society's fault that Ashley feels like a failure today, because people have placed so much importance on this marriage thing that if you don't get it right, you are obviously the problem and you've done something terribly wrong. It's BS.
Yeah, I hate that. I don't like the idea that they used to, I don't know if they still do it in court, but the judge will ask, whose fault is it that the marriage is broken down?
Society.
Yeah. Well, you can't blame, you can't say society, my lord.
Well, both are to blame
American
then, if that's the way they want to approach it. If it takes two and it didn't work out, then two were responsible for the fact that it didn't work out.
Yeah. Well, Steve says, he's in Durban, marriage should be a 7-year contract and then you can renew if you like what's going on. That's good, right?
Oh, boy.
Judas says, She's listening to her HD sound of Touch Central this morning, and she found my burp very disturbing. Mm. I'm sorry. I mean, we're in the middle of a show here. What must I do? I can't excuse myself. Kate says, Ben is so wise.
He is rather.
Thank you, Kate.
So wise. when were you called that last?
Tuesday.
Letukolo says, good morning, team. Just wanted to give you props on the new app. I love how I can message to the show via the app. It makes my life so much easier. Keep up the amazing work, guys. Tell Mabale she still looks awesome. Isn't that nice?
That's sweet.
Yeah. Johannes Makatini. Mabale can make so much money if she just sold her used panties. Mabs, any interest in doing that on the internet?
Yeah, this isn't the first time you've been asked about this, Mabs.
No, absolutely not. That's just gross.
All right, so Johannes Makatini, I'm sorry. Not going to happen for you. Gareth, what is up with this cuck song that you played? I think that was a little bit earlier. 720. No, it was the last one. The Sierra song. Oh, you know what? I can't help everybody, Hen 5. It's Friday, he says. Play some Tupac. All right, see what we can do. Tanya says, I have a body clock, baby. I don't need an alarm. I envy you. That's amazing. Most guys wake up with a hard-on, says Gabriella. So it's only fair that girls should wake up with that device that gives them an orgasm.
Yeah, but we wake up with hard-ons. It doesn't mean that anything happens. We can just carry on with our lives. It's awkward.
Yeah, your morning wood doesn't necessarily mean orgasm, does it?
Doesn't mean business time, no.
And we don't normally get it sorted out first thing in the morning. Who has time? Exactly. I hear about these couples, right? I've heard these stories. I'm sure you have too. These couples who have sex in the morning before work. How? How does that happen? I'm always late if I try and do anything more than the absolute bare essentials in the morning when I leave.
Yeah,
there's
but,
no time.
But you wake up at stupid o'clock. Most people wake up at a normal hour.
And then what?
So for you, it wouldn't be practical having sex in the morning.
I don't need to be at the office at night. Sure, let me just, can you give me a blowjob? It's only 8:15. I got 15 minutes to play with.
Yeah, if you wake
How
up
does
at,
it work?
If you wake up at 7:30,
yeah.
Both of you have a cup of coffee. Now it's quarter to eight. Then yeah. You have sex. It's now 8. You jump in the shower. It takes you to 8:15. Leave the house at 8:30. You can be at work by 9.
Jeez.
It's plausible.
Yeah, it is. And hats off to those people who are doing it. I mean, I know I can't. I wake up in the terrified Daniela with something. At 4:00.
Imagine how she'd hate you. Kind of wake her
she
up.
She doesn't deserve that.
She's got this penis next to her head.
I've got to push Meowsers off the bed. I've got to then it's be a mess. Absolute mess.
Does Meowsers climb on the bed when you two are busy?
She's a cat. She does what she wants.
So she does. And then sometimes she'll look at you like disturbingly. And you'll be like, not now.
Sometimes I often think she looks disturbing me after the fact because like a lot of the time she just leaves the room.
Oh, at least she's considerate.
Yeah. Or disgusted.
Do you never get a bit creeped out with like the whole concept of reincarnation and like that could be like a friend of yours now watching you have sex?
Don't know, Michael. I gotta say, I'm not really focused on the cat. Like, I don't even realize Meowsers is there. To be honest,
These animals—they can't help themselves. They love to watch.
Oh boy!
Do you know why we have morning wood? Because during the night, our bladder fills up and it gets to a point where it actually pushes. I think it's on your urethra, and that's what causes you to have an erection in the morning.
I'm pretty sure it's not the urethra.
Or something like that. But as soon as you pee, it goes away.
All right.
So it's got nothing to do with being horny or something.
The difficulty here is the key is it's very difficult to pee.
Mm.
Yeah.
When, when you're hard, it's impossible. It's not going to go well. It's not going to be a clean, tidy situation. You've got to actually do something there. You've got to wait for it to subside because otherwise you're going to end up in trouble.
You know, it would be clever if they made like a man toilet like you just stick your penis in the basically a glory hole, but you can piss through it.
Yeah. You know what, Flax? There could be money in this. Why don't you invent something?
Yeah.
And,
the morning urinal.
Yeah, the morning wood urinal.
Not a bad idea.
Do it, Flax. I'm telling you, people would buy this. Rich people would start, and then eventually the rest of us would want one as well.
The morning glorinal.
The morning glorinal, yeah. There we go. That's a good one. That's a very good invention.
Take out the dragon's den.
Morning sex in the shower is a great way to start the morning, says Mandla.
Yeah.
Rusty says sex in the morning is amazing. By 11, I'm dead tired, but it's so worth it. Xavier says, please tell Tanya it's an internal elam, not alarm. And Anishka says, my hubby and I will be married 10 years in December. He has no choice but to be happy. So this is a great marriage for me. I love this marriage. I love him for just letting me be. Sounds really one-sided. All right, I got an email here, and then we've got to move on. Got things to do and people to see and places to go. And we said we would get to news, and it's already 10 minutes late. In fact, I'll save the email for just now. It's from Woman of Color. She wants to talk about some of the things that are going on in her world. But let's get into the news. The news headlines, the headlines that we're making this morning, brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Right, Mabs? What have you got?
Absolutely, Gareth. Well, just when you hoped that the good had lost interest in South Africa when they left the country a few months ago, now we discover that Oak Bay Investments are apparently reaching out to South Africa's major banks. According to Nazim Hawa, the company is hoping to dispel myths about the fact that they have an open and clear channel of communication. Oak Bay is, of course, a Gupta-owned company, and yesterday they released their financial results for the past year, which shows that revenue went up by 7%. They did feel the need to stress that only 8.9% of the total revenue was derived from government business. All four of the country's major banks stopped doing business with Oak Bay earlier this year, and they basically want to woo them back, Gareth. So the Guptas are not done with us yet. And then South African Airways chairperson Dudu Mieni would like to assure everyone that the national carrier is in the right hands. Okay.
Her hands.
Her hands, Gareth.
Well, what's she going to say? Don't trust these hands.
She also says the fact that it met all its obligations means that revenue is improving, and the new routes that have been developed are proof of this. She was addressing a group of concerned citizens yesterday, which includes president of the Professionals Forum.
Yeah.
The DA are challenging the rationality of her reappointment in court, citing that SAA received 15 billion rand from taxpayers because of Mieni's disastrous performance. But she says, no, everything is fine here. The company's in the right hands. Everyone calm down.
I feel sorry for all those people who work for SAA and are trying to do a good job. And she's just running it into the ground. You know what I mean? It's like she's on a mad tear to spend money. She wants to do these contracts with these shady companies, leasing planes and all kinds of things that I'm not sure are necessary. And people are starting to dig a little deeper, and they're finding out what the relationships are between her and this one and that one and the president and blah, blah, blah. It's all very messy. Michelle says, I like you guys. All the real conversations and actions. Divorce, blood pressure, burping, all the information to start the day. Well, that's what we do. We try to keep you on the straight and narrow. Ben, what have you got for us in the sport?
Kevin Paul wins SA's first Paralympic gold in the Rio.
Good.
100 meters, SB9 breaststroke. Ryan Lochte is banned from swimming, but he will be dancing with the stars. The Springboks go into the clash with the Australians tomorrow. Probably 3-4 points to the rear. So underdogs, but it could be a tight match there. New Zealand versus Argentina prior to that one, 9:35. Box will kick off tomorrow, 12:05 SA time. Big weekend of MTN8 semi-final cup football. Wits take on Cape Town City. Cape Town City are the new boys to the big leagues, and they beat Kaizer Chiefs in the first, well, the round before this. Got to think Wits are going to be the home ground favourites there and should take that first leg, of course. So this will be reversed. And then Chippa United versus Sundowns at 3. So MTN8's basically Sundowns' first silverware. Here it comes. Can't see this team losing from here. Big Manchester derby in the English Premier League. Man United vs Man City. 1:30 SA time. They'll be at Old Trafford. And in tennis, well, Serena Williams been knocked out of the US Open. She'll also lose her number one world ranking to Kerber, who will take on Pliskova in the final. And the men's final will be contested with the winner between Djokovic and Monfils and Nishikori and Wawrinka. Golf-wise, big BMW Championship this weekend at the US PGA Tour, which is part of the FedEx Cup. And the winner will take $1.53 million. Currently, Roberto Castro is the leader at -7, but he'll be swallowed up by the field before you know it. KLM Open will take place in the European Tour, and Ben Evans equally going to be swallowed up. He is a current leader at -6. That's the weekend sport.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Short and sharp and to the point. Flax, you were going to tell us about makeups and breakups in Hollywood the other day, and we kind of pipped you to the post of the Taylor Swift story.
So.
But there's new stuff.
Like rumors have come out the rumor mill.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still called the rumor mill?
Yeah, believe it or not. There's an actual mill with water on a wheel, and people sit inside and gossip, and then it spreads.
It's the headquarters for TMZ.
Yeah, it's a rumor mill.
So Taylor Swift and Tom, I don't know if it's Hiddleston or Hiddlestone.
Hiddleston.
Just like it's spelled.
Hiddleston.
Hiddleston.
Hiddleston is her lawyer.
The Jewish version of Tom.
Yeah, imagine Tom Hiddleston. That would be pretty funny.
So now that they've broken up, everyone's speculating as
Hello.
To why.
Hello, Taylor. It's Tom Hiddleston. I'm here from the shul down the road. I've brought you a present. How long have we been together, Tyler? That's nice. Tom Hiddleston. Tom Hiddleston, do I have to McGuy? Yes, Tyler. We are going to put you in the courses for some time, and then you are going to convert. Guy, you're gonna be a Shayna Madel.
I don't know at least a third of what you just said.
I know, but the Jews that heard it would love it.
I understood. I get it.
I knew it. Okay, don't tell any of the Yorks. Okay,
as please. They say, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Right. Don't tell any of the Gentiles, if you don't mind. What else, Flax?
Okay, so back to Taylor and Tom. So the reason they broke up, and I think this is the truth, is that Taylor wanted a private relationship and Tom wanted a public relationship. Ooh. So Tom asked her to go to some award show with him and she declined it. And then he got all furious and that. And then she sort of like worked out that he was in the relationship for the wrong reasons. Like with Calvin Harris and Taylor, you barely saw photos of them. But with Tom and Taylor, you sort of saw like scripted photos, which also gave away that Tom might have been in the relationship more for the publicity than the real reasons. And that is the truth why they broke up.
That is the truth right there.
That's the truth.
Speculate no more. That is the truth.
That is not from the rumor mill. That is from the truth mill. Right?
Like everything added up, and I think that is the direct reason why they broke up. I think it was the GQ Awards even.
People are talking about how Hillary Clinton is sick. Have you heard about this?
Physically sick?
Yeah, they're saying she's not well. She's physically and mentally compromised.
Well, she was coughing like an old Labrador the other day.
Yeah, that's true. You heard all that. But the new National Enquirer in America just out this morning, full medical file, Hillary is ill. And they've got stories about why she should go to prison.
But they're both ill.
What do you say? Hillary, anything that you want to say about this? Mrs. Clinton? Hello? Mrs. Clinton, is there anything you want to tell us?
I love penis.
I'm sorry?
What?
Say that again. What was that you said?
I love penis.
Oh, you love penis. Okay, sorry. Obviously, we caught her in the morning where she's having a lot of her medication is coming through today. Ray Kurzweil, you know this guy is one of my favorite scientists. He has written a number of books about what the future might look like. I've mentioned him before. And he has just spoken about what it may be like. This is very interesting. Living in a simulation. In other words, that we might be the high school experiment of some really advanced child. And that we would probably view that child as being God. But basically that we could be in a computer simulation. None of us are real.
The Truman Show?
Even worse. Existence. Because outside of the Truman Show, there was an actual real world. Ray Kurzweil, he says the whole world could be one big computer program.
Oh, come on.
No, really. Listen to this.
Ray, some very intelligent scientists have now begun speculating that maybe we're living in a simulation. Is there any coherence to this?
Well, first of all, it's not clear there's much difference between a simulation and reality. Sometimes I talk about we'll be able to simulate human intelligence, and then some philosophers come and say, well, that's a simulation and that's not the real thing. And if you simulate something as precise as the original thing, I don't think actually there is a difference. This universe could have been created by some super intelligence in another universe. So maybe we're our whole universe is a junior high school science experiment of some super intelligent junior high school student in another universe, and maybe she won't get such a good grade given the way things are going. But
imagine that.
But still, it's a real universe, and it follows certain laws as best we can tell, and maybe that junior high school student intervenes sometimes. You know, if we actually were able to contemplate that intelligence, that junior high school student, it would seem like a god from any perspective that, you know, the religious texts talk about. But that's a plausible scenario, because we will get to a point where our civilization will be sublimely intelligent, and we may actually be able to create another universe because we'll have enough command of physical interactions. Another possibility is that our universe actually runs on a computer, because people have examined physical laws as a set of computational processes. And it's really quite plausible to say our universe is a computer. We have this idea, at least in the Western philosophies, that what really is true of the universe, that fundamentally it's a bunch of stuff. It's a bunch of particles and energy, and it's real physical stuff. And the stuff can maybe represent information, but basically it's stuff. Well, maybe fundamentally it's not stuff. It's fundamentally information. And what we call stuff, like particles and electrons and protons, these are just manifestations of information structures. And the most fundamental aspect of the universe is information. Well, that information is constantly changing. It's being manipulated. It's running on some computational substrate. That would mean the universe is a computer. If I think about, well, what am I? I'm really an information structure. I'm a pattern of information.
This is pretty interesting. Are you following so far?
Okay, so not so much Truman Show, more The Matrix.
Exactly. But even in The Matrix, there are actual people. They're in vats, and they're being given thought drugs and all the rest of it. But in this example, he's saying actually everything is just a manifestation of information, whether it's an atom or a cell or, you know, the spaces in between. It's all information. So listen to what he says about what we're made of, because you often, you know, people sit and they go, well, what's the biggest question in the world? Why are we here?
Mm.
Right? Well, what are we? Because before you can answer why are we here, you have to answer what are we? What do we consist of? Listen to this. This is mind-blowing.
Computer. If I think about, well, what am I? I'm really an information structure. I'm a pattern of information. If you say, no, Ray, you're these atoms, molecules that make you up. Well, that's not true. We know that the cells, depending on what cell it is, it turns over in 5 days, 2 weeks. The neurons persist as cells, but the parts of the neurons change over very quickly. I'm completely different stuff, particles, molecules, than I was just a short time ago. But I'm not completely different information. Yes, I've changed somewhat, but there's a real continuity. Most of the patterns are the same.
Now, do you understand what this means? This means that every cell in your body is not, there isn't one cell left that was there at the moment you were born. There is not one piece of actual matter in your vessel that is your body. There isn't one single strand, not an atom, nothing that was there at the beginning.
But what about that deoxyribonucleic acid that they like talking about?
But it's new chemicals and new atoms and new molecules that are brought in. They're following an old pattern. So what he's saying is the information is being retained, but the actual matter has changed.
Okay.
So a cell that you were born with has a whole lot of atoms in it, right?
Mm.
Those atoms are now, some of them are in China, some of them are in the sea, some of them are in the air, some of them have escaped into the atmosphere, some of them are in other people. So the stuff you're made of isn't even permanent stuff. Talking about permanence of relationships earlier.
Yes.
There's nothing permanent. Your body isn't even what your body was a couple of years ago. Every part of it's been replaced and gets replaced all the time. So the only thing you have is a framework of information. So you are just you're a computer.
It's information. Yes, I've changed somewhat, but there's a real continuity. Most of the patterns are the same. And so fundamentally, what Ray Kurzweil is information. It's a pattern of information. So I'm a patternist. I think patterns, which means information, is the fundamental reality.
How's that, huh? That's quite mind-blowing, actually. I mean, when you break it down, that the whole question of what are we? Who are we? You're not even just a bag of meat, because that's what we used to think. Because even that meat isn't you. You know, your consciousness one day may be uploaded to a machine, and you may be able to live forever, even though your body's gone. Your thoughts, your ideas, your way of solving problems, the way you sound, the way you move, the way you act, the way you think, the things that excite you, the things that don't, all of that information is really you. Yeah, that's why they say they used to do this in medieval times. They would weigh the body while someone was alive, and then they would weigh the body when they died to see how much weight the soul had.
Oh, is that what they thought?
Yeah, so that when you died, your soul would escape, right?
Mm.
Body weighed the same before and after, obviously. Nothing's lost. There may be a bit more or less air in the lungs. There may be a bit more or less oxygen or carbon dioxide in the blood vessels. There may be one or two cells that have started dying immediately. It'll be tiny, tiny, tiny. But there isn't a weight for the soul. Like, you can't... There isn't a place in your body where your soul lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Look, it's always difficult when you ask people to abandon everything that they were taught and, you know, get them to question that and to start thinking in a different way.
But if that's true, and they could one day upload your consciousness, your whole existence, your soul, if they could do that one day, would you want to do it? Stored on a computer somewhere? Would you feel like that would be a great way to continue your existence? I don't know. I think for some people it would be horrible, and they wouldn't want that. And for others, it would be the most exciting thing ever, that they could have immortality.
Yeah.
You know, it depends from person to person. Anyway, I don't want to get too philosophical this morning, but it's nice to think about these things, because these are the big questions. And maybe at a braai this weekend, you'll bring up some of this stuff and you'll go, it was worth listening to that show this morning. All right, when we come back in a moment or two, we're going to find out about our hearts, how healthy our hearts are. We're going to speak to Chanel Sardinia, who's taking part in a bikini competition. And we're also going to check in with a rugby athlete who's also an Adidas ambassador. Let me tell you about Adidas while we're talking about them. How much, Ben, is sport a mental game?
A huge amount, Gareth, so much.
Adidas is the leading sportswear innovator. They believe it's all about getting the mind right, finding the vision, and above all, focus. Look out for the revolutionary new range, redefining and elevating gym to street style. The Adidas ZNE hoodie, available at Adidas e-com and in major retail stores. From the 8th of September, go to adidas.com/athletics_ZNE for more information. That's adidas.com/athletics_ZNE for more details. adidas.com/athletics_ZNE. Isn't that great? I said it three times for them. Isn't that the best commercial you've heard? Follow at AdidasZA on Twitter and Instagram and use the hashtag hashtag #FindFocus to join the conversation. That's #FindFocus on Twitter and on Instagram, and you can follow at AdidasZA. Got it?
Got it.
Loud and clear. All right. When we come back, we'll talk about this some more. Take a call. See what you're up to. All these things are possible. CliffCentral.com.